Welcome to the Grace Vineyard Podcast, where we are building growing communities of worshipers who are becoming like Christ, empowered to do His work. We hope you enjoy this message.
So for everybody that doesn't know me, I'm the one they call Pastor Snake, also Richard, Snake Urtel, Richard Snake Urtel, any number of things. So, wow, there's a lot of people here. Unfortunately, I got nothing. But I think God's got a couple things. Okay? You know, Ron had asked me earlier what the title of my message was. And, you know, it's Super Bowl Sunday, so why not? Who wins? You know, and then I got this bright idea in my head that, you know, maybe I can tell them who's going to win the Super Bowl at like 10 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, and I got this thought in my head, and I'm sorry, I got to do something. You know, when your wife asks you to do something, gentlemen, and you're married, just do it. Happy wife, happy life. So I got this thought in my head, and I could have sworn it was from God, you know, about who was going to win the Super Bowl. You know, so it's like, you know, and I was certain of this. So it's like, y'all want to know? Well, my thought was it's the team who plays the best. But last night, I'm sitting out on my living room couch. I'm sitting, you know, watching TV because it helps me think. And God, I'm scrolling through scriptures. I'm scrolling because I'm trying to get this message down. And he opens up a scripture for me that proves that wasn't the right answer. He said in Ecclesiastes 9:11, the race or the game is not to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happened to them all. Well, that one screwed that up. So he says, not to worry, son. I've got the answer for you for that question that you want, who wins. And all you have to do is tell anybody who wants this information that if it's not correct and they lose, you'll give them $100 each. I said, gee, God, that's pretty. I don't know that I got that much money. My wife will kill me. He said, no, I guarantee this. He said, but make sure that everybody who wants the information, raise your hands. Wow, I don't see a lot of hands out there. You don't want a $100 bill? Okay, everybody who wants this information has to do one thing for God. If the information is valid and it's correct, each of you need to put $5 into the basket towards the missions. So I saw about 40 or 50 hands. Sharon, you should have like $200 by the time I finish here. All right. So you guys ready? Who's going to win? All right, here it is. It's the team that scores the most points. I'm sorry. You know, I need you guys to do something for me because I'm a little scrambled. I'm always a little scrambled. Would y'all put out your hands towards me right now? And repeat after me. Father God, let the message this man is going to speak be music to our ears, honey to our lips, beauty to our eyes, joy to our hearts, and laughter to our souls. And Father, don't let this fool screw this up. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, we're all good now. You know, I call myself a fool. I call a lot of my friends fools. And it's not a negative thing. I know that each person I've called a fool is a fool for Jesus. And if you can be a Jesus freak, you can be a Jesus fool, you can be a Jesus fanatic. I believe in Jesus. I believe in the power of his healing. I believe in his redemption. I believe in his resurrection. I believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. Period. Although sometimes I don't act like it. And neither do you guys sometimes either, by the way. I'm not alone. You know, the game that we're playing, we have a race that we're playing in too. It's the race of salvation, redemption, and eternity with Jesus. And God's got a couple words that tells us what we should do about this. He says, don't you realize that in a race everyone wins, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Okay? What does all that mean? You know, and how does it apply to us today? You know, are you guys in the race? Are you running a race or are you running a marathon? Are you even running? You know? Well, you know, I got good news for you, Daria. Because not all of us are runners. Not all of us are meant to go on missions to Africa or Honduras or Mexico. Not all of us are meant to preach. Not all of us are meant to teach. Not all of us are meant to not all of us are meant to be prayer warriors. But we can all pray. Some of us are arrows, and a lot of us are bows that shoot the arrows. Some of you are better with children. God, I wish those lights would go down a little bit. Some of you are better with young adults. Some of you are better with people of your own age. But you're all created with a purpose. Each and every one of you. It's like the scripture that talks about, you know, if I'm an arm, what do I need a leg for? Can you imagine a body that was just all arm? It takes all of us together. And that's one of the big things about coming here to church. God tells us, do not forsake the gathering together of each other so that we can encourage, increase, and edify each other. Some of you here were hurt in churches. Some of you here were hurt by family members. You know, some of you don't even think you're worthy. Do you know that when God looks at you each morning, He smiles. He smiles. He doesn't look at you with disdain, trepidation. He doesn't have the thoughts, oh, what's that fool going to do today? No, He looks at you and He smiles. How amazing is that? Yeah, amen. Because, you know, I was not a person that was very smileable. My partner, Michael, he was not a smileable person either. Yet what we were has nothing to do with who we are today and what will happen tomorrow. And if it's true for a couple of fools like us, oh my gosh, think of how much higher up on the ladder you're starting at. So what's important? You know, I went to a concert on Friday and saw Toby Mac, you know, Mac Powell, Corey Asbury. He looks just like Luke Bricker, by the way. I thought it was Luke standing up there singing. I'm going, holy smokes. Yeah. And the general message that I got, because I was out of it. I thought I'd lost my attention to God. I had no fire. Did you ever feel that way where you got no fire? You know what the answers are, but how do I do it? I don't feel it. God is not a feeling. God is a fact. So get the feeling out of your heart. Know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. God loves you deeply. God loves you dearly. And it doesn't matter what you do or don't do. It just doesn't matter to Him. Would He like you to participate? He asks all the time, who shall I send? Who's listening to me? Is it you? I don't know. But I know He's got something for you. Those of you that are not in the race at all, maybe it's time you found your place. You know what God cares about? God's entire thought process. People. God loves people. Even the people you don't like. You might want to try forgiving them because they might be your neighbors in heaven. You know, there's a scripture that Michael and I talk about sometimes together where we're all up there standing there with Jesus and He's busy separating the lambs from the goats. You know, Michael only gives you the half part about the lambs because he likes that part. He says, I don't think I should tell him about the goats. It's a scary thought. Here's the facts. He separates lambs from the goats. And then he's sitting there, why did I make it over here as a sheep? Well, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in jail, you came to visit me. When I was sick, you took care of me. You clothed me when I didn't have any clothes. And they're like, when did we do that for you, God? As you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. Isn't that wonderful news? Yeah, but what about the goats? Because he sits there with the goats, and the goats are, you know, what about us? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? And he looks over at them and he says, I never knew you. I never knew you. That's some of the people that think they know God today. How do you know when you're saved? You know, that's a pretty good question. I think that what happened for me when I gave my life to Jesus is something in my spirit changed, something in my heart changed. Yeah. I felt born again. I felt new. The things that used to excite me no longer did. I had a new joy in my heart that was inexpressible. I was talking about things that I never talked about. I became a whole new person. There are some people here today that didn't know me back when I was the other guy. And they look at me and they go, I can't even imagine you being like that. I can't even imagine it. Notes. What did my partner do? Notes. So it's like God wants people. And I know that each and every one of you sitting here today knows somebody else that's not sitting here. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's just somebody that you meet in Walmart. I want to tell you, there's an urgency. Jesus is coming. And I mean, I don't want to say look around you at the world, or, you know, because a lot of people have said that before. But look around you at the world. Look around you. There is an urgency. There's an urgency to love each other. Because you're not fighting against flesh and blood. Get that down into your head. Sometimes that's hard to understand. We are not fighting against each other. We're fighting against principalities, the demons, Satan, who has been practicing on you over and over again, telling you how stupid you are, how dumb you look, how you're not pretty enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not smart enough, you're not rich enough, you're not... Let me tell you something. When God looks at you, He smiles. He smiles. Because you are all those things. And He loves you dearly. If you've been hurt by religious people, by churches. I'm sorry, that wasn't God. That was people. And what do? We hurt each other. I hurt my wife sometimes. And I don't even realize it. You hurt your children sometimes. They hurt you. You know, I told my partner the other day, Michael, I loved him. And he goes, yeah, but your love's very transactional. You know, and I for a minute I got a little offended. You know, and I'm like, well, I guess he's probably right. But then I shot him a text back. I said, Isn't everybody's? We're all transactional. I love you if you love me. I love you when you're doing good to me. I love you when you give me money. I love you when you follow my directions. I love you when you get good grades in school. I love you when you're home on time. I love you when you don't crash my van. I love you. When? I don't think that human beings are capable of unconditional love. I mean, I don't know. Think in your own life. Do you love unconditionally? I would certainly challenge that. The closest thing I've found, as I've told you before, is a dog. You know, but even my nephew, Buddy, he loves you if you've got food. But I think he loves you anyway. He just knows how to hustle. You know? So that's the closest thing I found, except for one entity, and that's Jesus, God, and His Spirit. How does that Trinity work? How do you think? That's a very confusing thing for a lot of people. The Trinity. Is it, you know, can you imagine it? I know that it's hard for me to understand sometimes. You know, He was with God, He was God, He is God, He's given His Spirit to us. Not so hard to understand when you think of yourself, body, mind, and spirit. That's all been proven scientifically. We have body, mind, and spirit, right? So, same principle with Him. Spirit of God, the body, Jesus Christ came down here, and the mind of God. I don't know that that's how it works. You know, because I'd love to tell you I got all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I have very few answers, actually. I do know that God is about people. God is about loving people. How can you love people today? His two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, all your mind and all your spirit. And the second one, love your neighbor as yourself. That's pretty simple to do. You know how you want to be cared for, how you want people to treat you. Treat everybody else that way, whether they do or not. That's the trick. If you do those two things, the other eight commandments don't even matter. Because you'll already be following them. Huh? Can you love your neighbor as yourself? I guess that's my challenge for you guys. Can you love your wives like you love yourselves? Can you love your children like you love yourself? You know, we pass that word around, love, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm just as guilty. You know? I'm just as guilty. Do we really mean it? Love is an action word. If you love somebody or something, you treat it right. I can tell you what you love. I can tell you where your heart's at. Where do you put your money? That's what the Bible tells you. Wherever your money's at, there your heart's going to be right there next to it. That's why they talk so much about it. Yeah. And I'm not here to tell you that I think that God feels you shouldn't strive to get more, shouldn't strive to be better at your job, shouldn't strive to get a better job. He's not saying that. But what's more important to you? Having $80,000 in the bank and a $1,000 car in your driveway? Or having an $80,000 car and a $1,000 a month payment? No money in the bank. Wherever your heart's at, that's where your treasure is. God's treasure is people. People matter. People matter. Where can you help people today? Well, I can tell you that C4C is doing an outreach on the 24th next Saturday, or a couple Saturdays. I know I'm old and sometimes my numbers get a little confused. Ask Michael, he knows what day it is. And all you need to do is show up. You know? You'll not only be loving people, but you'll get fed probably some really good food. They'll probably have hamburgers and chili and hot dogs. You'll get to participate. You'll get to participate in an act of love to people who are very unnoticed, except in a poor way. And they're just people too. They're just people too. They need to be seen, just like we need to be seen. We need to feel like we're noticed. Yeah. I was going to come up here today and try to pontificate on whether or not you're running the race, whether or not you're standing still. And what I really want to tell you is that when God sees you in the morning, He smiles every single morning. And when He sees all the other people, He smiles. Why would He do that? Because He created us. He created each and every one of us. And then after He created us and He saw what craziness we created ourselves, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us so we could be with him, because he loves you that much. How many of you would give up your son for the guy sitting next to you? You know, I might give up my son, but I certainly wouldn't give up my grandson. Because my love's transactional. You know? Come and join us on Saturday. Come and join us today for football, because it's about relationship. How do you get to know God? He wrote you a love letter. He wrote you a personal love letter to each of you. But you're never going to see it if you don't open up the Bible or open up your Bible app on your phone. I'm having a lot of fun with the Message version right now. I really like it. It speaks to my heart sometimes. Sometimes it's a little off for me, but most of the time, it really speaks to my heart. Try the different languages that they've written the Bible at. Read what God has to say to you. Because while you're spending time reading, he's spending time with you. And that's how you build relationship. You can't build relationship by, hi, how are you doing? And then never talking to that individual again. You've got to spend time together. I can't be married to my wife but live across the country and never come to see her again. It wouldn't be much of a marriage. I've got to spend time with her. Even though she tells me what to do all the time. I've got to say most of the time she's right. You know? And I always fall back on that old saying they told me when I first got married, happy wife, happy life. Yeah. I'm telling you, that works really good, man. That works really good. So can I get the band to come on up? Can I come on up right now? I promised I'd end at 11 o'clock. Didn't I tell you? Oh, the team that gets the most points. You owe $5. So while the band comes up here, if there is anybody in here today, maybe they're coming back to God. Maybe they're coming back to a right relationship with him. They knew him. They believed in him. But something happened along the way. Maybe it's life. You know, because life sometimes gets hard, you guys. It's easy to say, Jesus! When everything is hunky-dory and smooth. It's a little bit harder sometimes when you're getting some curveballs thrown at you. It really is. But that's just the time you've got to dig closer into God. Press into him. And not alone. Get around your prayer warriors, the people who are in your corner. They're sitting to your right, to your left, across the room here. Let us know, let us in what's going on so we can pray for you. I'm not saying that God's going to snap his fingers and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Jesus said, you're going to have trials and tribulations when you come to me. Probably more so than if you didn't. So if you're one of those people who kind of turned away from God and you want to come back, you're going to repeat this little prayer with me here in a minute. If you're one somebody that's here for the first time, or maybe you were hurt, and you want to feel the love that is not transactional, but transformational. You'd be welcome to pray this prayer with us also. Maybe you just want to restate your love for Jesus right now. You're welcome to pray with us also. So, Father God, I come to you with the mess that I've made of my life. I ask you to forgive me and wash me white as snow. I don't know how all that works, God, but I believe that you sent your Son down here, that he died for me and my sins. And then he was raised on the third day. Oh, holy Jesus. And now he's like my advocate, my attorney, pro tem, sitting right beside you, fighting the good fight for me. So that when you look down upon me, Lord, you freaking smile. You smile because you love me. No matter what. It doesn't matter what I do today, what I did yesterday, and you know the crap I'm going to do tomorrow. But you smile because you love me. And I want to pass that love on to others, Father. I want to pass that love on to others. So thank you for that gift of redemption. Thank you for the gift of restoration. Because you are not the God of separation. You are the God of restoration and reparation and reconciliation. The God of forgiveness. The God of second, third, and fourth chances. The God that forgives 7 times 70. The God who loves me unconditionally. In Jesus' name, amen. There's going to be some people down front to pray. If you have aches, pains, if you have hurts in your heart, if you have fear, if you have job loss, money needs, I don't care what you've got. God is here, and he wants to heal you. That's his heart. I don't know who he heals and who he doesn't heal, and it's not about me. So keep coming, and we'll keep praying. I do know that he's got answers for you, though. Thank you for your time this morning. God bless and have a great afternoon.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. This weekly podcast is available on our website, gracevcf.org, where you can learn more about Grace Vineyard and our vision for people everywhere to know and worship God.